And we're joined now by Browns wide receiver Elijah Moore on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Elijah, how you doing, bud?
I'm great, man. I feel good.
So this is obviously year two in Cleveland. One, actually, before I even get to any of those funny baloney questions, the beard. I mean, I got a little envy today. Had to trim it down because I was looking like a Yeti. What are we doing to keep that beard in regular season form?
A lot of work, man. A lot of work. It definitely a lot of good eating. You got to take care of it. You got to wash it. You know, it's definitely a new look for me.
Now, let me ask you, because I don't know if you can tell this. I have a little bit of a weight problem. Somehow, everything I eat a little bit gets kept in the beard when I keep it longer. Is that just a fat man problem,
no,
or as a skinnier man, do you have that issue as well?
I think it's a beard problem.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
It's definitely a beard problem.
It's making me feel better because, yeah I was going to the hospital like last Thursday, and I'd eaten some fast food. I walked in, I looked like a toddler with some sauce in my beard, and that was a tough one. That was a tough one
it
to
is.
Carry around.
You got to have somebody holding you accountable.
Yeah, which is also kind of why I joined radio, so I didn't have to be accountable. And so it's a catch-22, but we live in it. We live with our choices.
Yes, sir.
So obviously this year two, if we take it back to maybe how you felt year one to now how you feel here, is there a difference? Is it kind of a little bit more the same? Where yeah?
I feel good about going into year two with the Browns. I really truly feel like, you know, it's another year under my belt for me to learn my teammates and gel with them, and the quarterback and the offense and the coaches, with the new coaches and everybody else who came in that's new. It just allows everybody to have an opportunity to gel with each other more.
So given that there is a new offensive coordinator, people are referring to it as a new system, a new offense, however you want to say it, how much different does that make it year over year, knowing that now it's, you know, same place, but now year two, second offense there?
It's just another step in the road. You know, I've been adapting the offenses since college. I had like a different offense every single year, so it's just nothing. It just kind of shows the adaptability of all the players, the willingness to buy in, and just the love of football.
So when we go to this and where you're at, obviously you are getting closer and closer to the end of your rookie contract. I know you guys like to compartmentalize, but when you think about your future, what do you think you need to do this year to set yourself up for the future and set yourself up for that second contract?
Just whenever my name is called, handle up. You know, yes, that's really it. Everybody focuses on their individual job, and that will take care of the team aspect. You know, so just being on my pointers.
So, with all this going on, last year, the first six or seven games, we saw a lot of different kind of usage out of you. We saw end arounds. We saw all these kind of things, almost akin to like a Percy Harvin.
Yeah.
Did you feel comfortable in that? Because it looked like it took you a minute there to kind of figure out your role here.
At the end of the day, you know, like we're all trying to figure each other out. It's a lot of moving pieces. When you have players that can adapt to anything, I guess it can be hard at times to find exactly what you want that player to do. So we're just moving forward as far as best as we can. I feel like it took a little later in the year for us to really get gelling, but you have to think injuries happen, so much stuff. You have to become adaptable. So wherever they need me, you know, I'm willing to learn it.
So if we gave you, here's the keys to the playbook, here's the keys to the offense. More of that or more of what we saw late in the season where it felt like you were used as a true wide receiver?
You guys are going to have to see.
Oh, look at that. That's a tease. That's a really good tease. You should work on radio.
See,
I mean, you make more money. Keep doing what you're doing. Elijah Moore with us here out of training camp talking about year two of the Cleveland Browns here. So, let's see. There's not just new in the offense, obviously new kickoff rules here. Are you excited to see what happens, or do you think this is going to be more of the same as you kind of throw out there?
I'm definitely excited to see. You know, I feel like it's going to be more explosive plays, but throughout the preseason for the first two games, you know, it's some of the rules are interesting. But I think you will see more explosive plays. It's not going to just be a waste of a play.
Do you see that as an avenue to prove yourself to the team?
Yeah, it's to give somebody else a better job. You see what I'm saying? Their job before on kickoff return and just some of the guys that maybe, you know, had to take a play away and I can add one. So, man, adding a play, getting to show that and really getting to show your abilities is what you want to do.
So, because it's new, one, have you I remember you returning kicks at some point, so I know you've done it.
Yeah.
But how different is it? If you've been back there, how different is that from your assignment and how you're supposed to think about it?
It just gives you more time. And then as far as just reading the play out, it really isn't as challenging at for the returner as it is for the people blocking because of the distance. You see what I'm saying? People get up on each other quicker. And they have to wait for the ball anyway now. So, you know, the new rules are interesting, like I said, but I think that you're going to see a lot more explosive plays.
So, obviously, we've talked a lot about your goals here, your goals last year, all this kind of stuff. What'd you do this offseason?
Work, man. Work. That's what we do, man. We try to get better every single offseason, working on all the things that, you know, I was figuring out and realizing throughout the season. You know, just trying to make myself a better player, a better person, you know, as much as I can.
How much different do you feel now versus maybe when you came in as a rookie?
Like the football aspect?
Yeah, football, life, like, yeah, where do you see the differences in now, Elijah?
I feel like every day I have an opportunity, you know, to use my 24 the best I can. You know, I know what I do in my spare time. I know what I should have stopped doing and should have done more of, and those things throughout my years as – from when I got in the league, from when I was 20 years old to where I'm 24 now, have only been working up to me be a better person and a better football player. So if it's not adding to that, I'm not really spending too much time on it.
So if you could use that fuel that you're talking about there to go forward for the next 4 years, what do you want to lay out for yourself?
Man, a representation of the best person that I can be off the field for whatever situation I have coming up, whether that's, you know, having kids or this, you know, whatever's in a line for me in life, outside of the field, to be the best version of myself in all facets, and then on the field to do the same, you know, to put my head down and just work and see where we end up.
Are we going to get another first pitch anytime soon?
My first pitch was bad. It was so bad.
I think it's better if it's bad, though, right?
Yeah.
You either have to be the best first pitch, or you kind of want to be somewhere in the middle. You don't want to be the worst. But if you're not the best.
I want to be the best, though.
All right. So so let's make it happen.
I got to work on
that. We got to make this work.
Yeah.
So were you a big baseball guy growing up?
No. Not like my family played, and when I went to college and I went to Ole Miss, a lot of my teammates played, and I got so mad at my parents for saying, you know, like, why didn't we put me in baseball too? You know, we got these three sport athletes here. But to be honest with you, I gained a lot of respect for them learning about it since I got into the league. I've been to a couple games. I went to a Blue Jay game. I went to the Indians games when I was in New York. You know, I went to some of the Yankee games. And it just kind of showed me how, like, it's exactly the same as football. It's, like, very political, for one. And then, two, it's, like, very detailed. People don't realize it. They think it's just hitting a ball. Like, there's so much things going on within the sport.
Well, I always noticed when I was a kid the difference between throwing a football and throwing a baseball.
Entirely different.
And so my girls were in softball the last couple of years and going to keep playing, and they're loving it and everything. But trying to teach them release point on baseball, I feel like I feel like football, you can kind of do whatever arm angle. With baseball, you got to be precise and
it's consistent. A smaller ball.
Yep.
So you have to be way more detailed.
Yep. And so, all right, so let's – wait, so no trips to, like, Puerto Rico? Like, what are we talking about here?
I took trips. I went to Jamaica. I went to Africa with JOK. I went to Ghana with JOK. You know, that was a great experience. And a couple of our teammates went as well. We got to experience, you know, his people and the beautiful aspects of just Ghana. Ghana is a beautiful place, and I feel like more people should go see it if they have the opportunity to. I went to Jamaica. I went to Cabo. I traveled a little bit, man.
I went to Jamaica too. That was.
I love Jamaica.
It's tough to come back.
Yes.
Like, because you're used to having a drink, poolside, relaxing, and then somebody's like, "Well, you know, you got to leave the country now." Yeah. I'm like, "Okay, what if we just did this for another couple weeks?
Need it extended."
Elijah Moore here with us out of Browns training camp. So when we get to the big talk this year was the Olympics. Flag football. Are we going to put NFL players in there? Because the current flag football players are like, hey, this is ours.
Yeah.
Don't take it from us.
Yeah.
Can I, 4 years from now, that's kind of threw that out there. 4 years from now, can I interest you in flag football at the Olympic level?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like that should have been added. You know, us football players stay at home while everyone is, you know, those basketball players, those track runners, you know what I'm saying? They're very special athletes, you know what I'm saying? And they deserve to be in that. But I feel like, you know, maybe y'all can just throw us in there too, you know?
What would that – so how would that – because I'm going to say you haven't had the opportunity to play a lot of flag football because you've been focused on tackle football.
Yeah.
Have you ever talked to anybody about the difference between those two things, how your role would differ?
Yeah, I mean, my role wouldn't differ that much because, for me, it's kind of similar. You know, catch the ball, get open, avoid people. You see what I'm saying? And so that's why I feel like you should really, if we wanted to take that to the Olympics for real, we should get the best skilled players. You see what I'm saying? Out of all positions. So for me, it would actually be similar.
Elijah, looking at you're now kind of one of the elder statesmen here. You know, I know we got Amari. Amari's been in it for a minute. We'll talk about him in a second here. But from the young guys, from the guys who are a year in, maybe 2 years in, who stands out the most to you?
Man, the whole group, I can't even just point somebody out. You know, they all show so much flashes. We had so many practices now to where, you know, Jamari, AB, you see what I'm saying? Landers, when he was here, everybody was making plays, you know, so it's hard to just pinpoint somebody, you know. Everyone has such different skill sets, but they're here for a reason, you know. So, I don't know. I think we have a great group.
Who's the fastest guy in the room?
Probably AB. AB's probably one of the fastest. And then, I ain't going to lie, like, I'm giving him a run for his money.
I got to say, because we asked Jamari this when we had him on a couple weeks ago, and he was so deferential. I'm like, I know you don't believe that.
Jamari's not one of the best.
So I mentioned Amari and the success he's had.
Yep.
And when it comes to having a guy like that in the room, is that somebody you go to just be, how?
100%.
Like, how do you do this for 10 years 100%. And do what you do?
100%. You know, of course, being very favored and blessed, just the way the work ethic is put in and attention to detail and, you know, the way how he goes about it, you know, you could tell a lot about players when they get on the field, you know, but to do it for that, you know, for this long as he's been doing it, and to dominate at that, you know, is definitely a ear you want to keep close.
So what are the things you go to him about?
Everything, man. We all play receiver, and he's one of the prime ones that's been doing it for the longest, man. Route running, thoughts on route running, details, you know, how to beat defenders in his thought process within it. Knowing when to speed up, knowing when to slow down, you know, just so many things within the arts of running routes. You know, it's definitely not easy separating. You know, those guys get paid too.
So college football playoffs expand this year. Ole Miss has been knocking at the door. Is this a year?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's about time too. You know, Lane Kiffin over there, if he's there, I'm betting with them. You know, so
you wish he would have been there for maybe the whole time, because he seems like he's really got something going there.
Yeah, I wish he was there longer, but you know what? That's just me being biased. You know, he was exactly where he was supposed to be, but when he came to Ole Miss, boy, my whole life changed.
You ever go back to those guys and say,
I just came back.
Oh, nice. So can you tell us about it?
Yeah, I went to the they had like a contest, like a basketball contest. And me and AJ and a couple of the only older players, Cody Core, we all went to go judge it. And then it was their spring game. So I came back. I seen some of the players, you know, chopped up with the coaches. And it was just a good experience to be back. The fans and everybody was going crazy. It was just a great experience to be back. I haven't been back since.
What message do you give to those young guys or to just any young football players out there?
Man, keep God first and keep going. That's it. You know what I'm saying? This isn't a rabbit race, man. It's just a turtle race. You know what I'm saying? It's not about just running routes, or it's not about from the receiver position or from any position. It's not just about being the best right now. You know what I'm saying? The real going to prevail.
So I forgot to ask this when we were talking about last year.
Yep.
You guys had such a great run there. You guys battled so hard.
Yeah.
And I do think, like, blue-collar town, I think you guys matched up to, hey, you get hit, you pick yourself back up.
Yeah.
How much you spend thinking about that playoff game though this off season?
To be honest with you, to know when you get so close, sometimes the worst things are when you get cut out of it quick. I feel like that's kind of like almost hurts more. Hurts less when you get so close. It sticks with you more because you know you was right there. Not everyone has the opportunity to be right there, you know. And I know that this organization hasn't really been that far in a while, and we're continuing to build. But you know, to know that it's year to year with the players that we have, and you know, with the coaches that we have, and just everything, you know, you want to live in the moment with it. It's definitely something that you got to bury behind you, because you don't want it to drag along.
You ready for September 8th?
Yeah, man, you ready? You ready?
Well, hey, you look great. The beard's great. It's great to talk with you as always, man. Thank you so much for dropping by. Good luck this season.
Likewise, man. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Browns receiver Elijah Moore there out in camp here in Berea on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Man, I got to tell you, I had such a different perspective on Elijah when they traded for him. The things we had heard out of New York. And then we interviewed him last year in camp, and everything you just heard 15 minutes ago was everything we heard last year. And, you know, I don't know that we've had a bigger misconception of fans liking a guy or not liking a guy based off production and who that guy is in real life.
I mean, listening to that interview, I mean, I know we've met him before, but that guy seems like he gets it.
Yeah.
And I know people have been down a little bit on some of the production and whatnot, but that guy's doing his best. I think if he's healthy, we'll have an opportunity to have a role in this offense. But, boy, what an attitude. A really good attitude.
What's interesting is we gave Amari and David Njoku a lot of credit for how they came alive when Joe Flacco came onto the scene. The same thing can be said about Elijah. Like, yeah, he didn't have a 200-yard game against Houston. Elijah quietly put in a lot of his best work late in that season. And so that's kind of just left me wondering if we're sleeping on him just a little bit.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
there are roles to be had at wide receiver. We don't know who the number two receiver is behind Amari. We don't know if Amari's going to be healthy all year. So there's opportunities there. Bunch of guys competing for a few spots.
Well, and what's interesting is, you know, we've put so much of the expectations on Jerry Jeudy because he was where he was drafted. And then, of course, the Browns, you know, gave him a contract before they had to, which was kind of let's see if we can get lucky on this, basically. Let's pay him now off who he had been. And if he's more than that, then he'll be great. You know what I mean? Like, but, dude, Jerry's not been able to practice as much. You know, Jerry and Deshaun have not had as much time to practice together. Elijah's going on year two here. Like, again, he might just be one of those guys that has like a 10-year career and he's everybody's third wide receiver. But I'm kind of excited to see, not even because of this conversation, but because I think there are going to be a lot of opportunities out there. And if Deshaun can stay healthy, the magical code word, of course, that we've talked about all year long, if Deshaun can stay healthy, you could just pick three guys out that are going to have, you know, 750 or better yard seasons, and I think you have a good chance of being right. Because I think the thing is when you have I know you can spread the ball around when you do kind of those timing routes and on-script throws. I think things can really get wide open and everybody has a chance to pitch in when you're more of a spread offense, which is why I'm kind of excited to see this thing, is because it's not just the top three wide receivers. It's going to be everybody else is going to have their chance to make plays.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting. We talked with some folks yesterday about this offense and what we think it's going to be. And, yeah, I do think it's going to be a lot more fun to watch, because it sounds like they're going to be playing a lot more spread and a lot more of the things that allow Deshaun Watson to sort of play in a free form.
So we do have some news along in the NFL, by the way, that Bo Nix has been named the starter in Denver. This is either going to be the thing that rewrites the next chapter of Sean Payton's history in Denver as a coach, builds onto a Hall of Fame legacy, or it's going to be his last act in Denver. Mm-hmm. I really don't see it going any. I don't see anything down the middle. I think because Denver's eating $80 million in dead cap this year, I think because you took Bo Nix with, the 12th pick in the draft, I kind of think this thing is either going to sail or it is going to sink. And I mean in hilarious ways.
Tell me how funny. Funny like a clown?
Because I just.
Unintentionally funny?
Very unintentionally funny. Because this is his handpicked guy. He can't do what he did with Russ last year. Like, Sean Payton handled Russell Wilson last year in Denver the way any undercutting careerist – I'm trying to think of words that I can say on air. He did Russ Wilson exactly as you would expect him to do with his reputation. He came in, oh, I can't wait to work with Russ. Here's what we're going to do with Russ. And then he started doing we're going to take away this, we're going to take away that. And then it was, oh, well, he doesn't like the way Russ runs the offense. And he started leaking things in the media. Then when Russ was having a good year, he threatened to bench him unless he took a contract modification. Then that went off the table. Then they came back, benched him at the end of the year because they were trying to get play the contract game with him. And so, like, I'll be honest with you. Russell Wilson's a bit of a weird knob. I don't think I'm preaching anything new here.
He's a very odd duck, yeah.
But the way that Sean Payton did him, you have to say, is dirty as hell. So you can't do that now, because this is the guy that you've said with Zach Wilson and all these other schlubs in camp. I mean, it was a kangaroo court of a quarterback trial here that Bo Nix won. He better be good. Because in a division of Justin Herbert and a division of Pat Mahomes and in a loaded AFC, you could be a 6-win team with a crappy rookie quarterback. And I don't know how much patience Mr. Walmart's going to have there on his $75 million head coach.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's a rookie, but he's 24 years old.
He's a grown man.
He is a grown man.
Yeah.
Guy played a lot of college football.
Yeah, he's just this side of Brandon Weeden.
I think it'll be all right.
Everything's relative to where you get drafted.
12th pick. He's not on the worst team.
But everything, you have to grade everything on a curve because of the AFC. I just think if Bo Nix had been like the 40th pick in the NFL draft, I think that'd be an easier road for that guy than being the 12th pick. I think the expectation at 12 is you better be a franchise quarterback. Like Baker Mayfield, if Baker Mayfield was the 33rd pick in the draft, we would say, oh, my God, look at the – I know it's been uneven, but look at what that guy's been able to do. He's graded as a number one pick. Literally the number one overall. I know it's different if you're the 12th pick. Dude, there's still franchise expectations if you're taken in the top 32.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time.
So that is coming from there. Now, Keith brought up something that we're going to kind of throw into the next segment here, but it was about – We're watching the quarterbacks kind of practice here, and I don't want to co-opt your take. So you set it up for us?
Yeah, I guess the quarterbacks are doing a drill where they're rolling out. They're kind of like avoiding defenders by the pads out here. They're kind of setting them up as being defenders in essence. So they're trying to avoid the pass rush, and then they throw it into a net. It's probably, I don't know, roughly 15, 20 yards across the field. So I asked Dustin, all the other quarterbacks are using they're throwing the football as normal. Deshaun, and this is probably part of his rehab, I understand that, two weeks out from the opener, he is doing it with a towel, just like snapping a towel, as if you would see a pitcher practicing his curveball holding a towel. So he's not really throwing a football, he's just snapping the towel as though a throwing motion. And I said, does that worry or concern you at all, knowing this is part of the rehab process, does it concern you at all that he's actually not doing all these drills 2 weeks out?
Dustin, let's start with you.
Yeah, so I would say no. And, you know, Keith, you made the point that, hey, other guys are throwing a football. They're not out there, you know, throwing with a towel. And I'm like, yeah, those other guys aren't coming off of shoulder surgery. And then you kept saying, well, it's 2 weeks away, though. I mean, does it concern you that he's not throwing a ball? And, you know, my first thought about this, guys, is no, not at all. Because when you're coming off a very significant injury and – we know that shoulder is the golden goose, right? I mean, we got to make sure to protect that thing like crazy. And you just got to be kind of cautious on how many times you throw a pass in practice, because you want to – like, these doctors are so smart, and trainers as well, in terms of, like, they know how much they can bring them along in terms of the percentage of throws and the amount of energy you're going to exert. It's crazy how they do this. So this is part of the rehab plan. For him to be doing this.
216-474-0092. Does it worry or concern you that Deshaun isn't doing all the drills when it comes to throwing with 2 weeks to go to the regular season opener against Dallas? We'll react to that and continue that conversation. Plus, the will he, won't he that we thought was settled but apparently isn't settled. And why isn't it settled? Next on 92.3 The Fan.